And there's always a refuge when you come to the house of God. And in the Old Testament, there were cities called the cities of refuge. And when someone accidentally killed another person, they could go to the cities of refuge and no one could touch them. One very particular characteristic of the cities of refuge that I like is that everyone in the city of refuge was there for the same reason, for refuge. Amen. Not one person could point a finger at another person and say, "I'm better than you. I'm better than you." That's not the case. But we're here right now in the house of God, our modern day city of refuge, because we needed refuge. There's no big I's and little U's. It's not a case of someone being better than somebody else because of their last name. We all have the same name. What's that name tonight?
Jesus.
Praise God. Let's praise Him right now. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I praise and magnify your name. Praise God. I'm going to be reading from the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, verse 20 through verse 22. Three verses of Scripture. While you're turning there, I'd like to say that I appreciate the opportunity to minister the Word tonight. I'm so thankful for the opportunity to be here. I was thinking before church how many times God has worked things out in my life. And I've listened to testimonies this morning and again this evening how people have elaborated God's blessings and the many, many things that He's done for them. And I'm just so thankful to be a part of you people. I don't know how long I'm going to be here. I'm sure it's going to be a few weeks at least, but we're just going to follow the leading of the Spirit of the Lord. It could end up being a few years and maybe even a few centuries. We'll just see what happens. But I am really glad to be here. And I was thinking about the fact that you folks don't know me. You've never seen me before. You only know of me what Brother Rutledge has shared with you. Let me share with you just quickly before I go into the Word tonight the desire of my heart, and that's to see the kingdom of God prosper and the message of Jesus Christ to be completely propagated before He comes back for His church, His people.
Amen.
There's nothing I'd like to see more than to see this place right here, walls or floors or something, have to be knocked out to make room for the people that are yet to be here.
Amen.
You know, Ananias, the Bible reveals, was on the wall preaching day after day. And undoubtedly, Ananias got up one morning, and maybe that particular morning he didn't want to go preach. Maybe that particular day he didn't feel like witnessing or he didn't feel like being a Christian, but he did it anyway. And it was just that day, Ananias was on a wall preaching and Saul was on the road to Damascus. Ananias was preaching. Maybe he didn't feel one ounce of enthusiasm or one ounce of anointing, but Ananias was doing what he knew he was supposed to do.
Amen.
And just maybe he felt the Shekinah glory of God settle down on him in a powerful way. Maybe he felt God talk to him and say something great is going to happen in just a little while. And maybe he was encouraged on that. But nonetheless, Ananias was doing exactly what he was supposed to be doing. And the whole time, God was preparing a sinner.
Yes.
Here we are in the upper room, so to speak, and we're doing what we can do. Everything we know to do, we're doing it.
Yes.
We're maintaining our salvation, so to speak. And there, you can mark it down. You can mark it down that I said it, that what time and what date. God is preparing a sinner.
Yes.
And in just a few weeks, when somebody prays through and you begin to ask them questions of what their life was like before they came to God.
Yes.
When we were in church, God was preparing them.
That's right.
I was laying in bed on a Sunday night. I didn't have anything to do. And I laid down at 7:30. God was preparing them. We're doing what we know to do. Praise God. I want to do my best to be a servant to my brothers and sisters in the church and also to the people in the world so that Jesus can really be seen. Praise God. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20 and 22. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Let's thank the Lord for his word right now. Thank you, Lord, for keeping your hand upon us. Thank you for the service tonight. God, I pray that your word would be impressed in our hearts. Help it, Lord God, to influence us. Help us to be sensitive to it, Lord Jesus. We know that you're able to do the work that needs to be done, Lord. Help me, Lord Jesus, to be a servant to my brothers and sisters. God, we need you tonight, Lord. We need you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for what's already happened. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments, and they were smitten. I want to talk to you tonight, or preach to you tonight, from the title, Deadly Exposure. Deadly Exposure. Just to more or less set the record straight, this is a message dealing with cause and effect, motive and conclusion, purpose and outcome. To better illustrate what I'm trying to say, when I was 2 years old, an incident took place that I thank God I can't remember. My dad was lying downstairs, partially asleep, and he overheard a conversation between my mother and I. Now, how can you talk at 2 years old? There's one word that everyone knows at a very young age, and that is the word no. My mother was in the process of telling me to get in my bed. And I said, no. And she told me again, and I said, no. She said, Cressley, get in the bed. This was the third time. I said, no. My dad lying downstairs, rolled over. He told me this story. I can't remember it. I can't remember it. And I've told him several times that I thought he just made it up. But he said that he raised his voice up the stairs and told me to get in the bed. And I said, no. He said, now, Cressley, this isn't your mother talking. This is your daddy. Now, if you tell me no one more time, I'm going to come get you. Does everybody know what come get you means? And so it didn't matter to me, I don't guess who it was. I wasn't getting in the bed, so I thought. And he said, Cressley, get in your bed. No. So, his purpose was for me to get in the bed, and the effect of my nose were a spanking that they tell me should have gone down in history. It was like the first shot heard around the world. It rattled everything on the hill where we lived. But the effect of that, my dad has said several times as he's watched me as an adult now, the effect of that discipline, the effect of that on my life has kept me out of prison and has caused me to respect my elders. Amen. When you are exposed to certain things, there is an effect, a definite effect. Amen. When human flesh is subjected to radiation, the end result is an unbearable death. Because of the compound that the radiation is made up of, it does not agree with our human body and our flesh. And it begins to deteriorate and to rot, if you please, because of the exposure. Again, if our bodies are uncovered in harmful cold weather conditions, a murderous numb feeling will begin to take over. And you know that well up in the north, better than I do from the south. It's called frostbite, and the flesh begins to freeze. And before long, because of the extreme exposure, the uncovered flesh, something has to be done about what has happened. The negative side of exposure, as we've seen in these two settings, is negative, but it's also powerful because it has an influence that will cause people to make a decision in the future to do what they know is right.
Right. Amen.
But more powerful than the negative picture is the positive outlook of deadly exposure, such as this. Satan cannot stay in the heart-searching presence of God. The old song, when the saints begin to pray, When the saints begin to pray for the Lord to have His way, the glory of the Lord is coming down. And Satan is going out. When Satan is in the vicinity of a Holy Ghost field on fire for God, ready to do battle, praying, worshiping child of a king, and they get a hold of God, Satan can't stay around very long. And he has to resort to what is called in warfare, guerrilla warfare. He has to just hit and run. Hit and run, because when the presence of God is ruling and reigning in a person's life, he's exposed to that and he can't hang around very long.
Amen.
Praise God. In our Bible setting, we see the ruler of Israel at this time, Jehoshaphat. And in the first part of chapter 20, he has received a message that his enemies, a great multitude of people, are going to attack the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. He's deeply concerned as the leader of God's people. He calls a fast, and he calls Israel to the place of worship, the temple. And there, he stands in front of thousands of people, and he prays. And he begins his prayer. He begins his prayer in verse 6, with something that we have used ourselves, because we've heard the people before us use it. When we get in a desperate situation and we're not so sure what we're going to do, oh Lord. Oh Lord. What's going to happen now? Hear the ruler of Israel. I'm talking the man that God has put in leadership of His people, starts his prayer with the phrase that is so used of us today. Oh Lord!
Yes.
Oh Lord. Can you catch the desperate picture? This man wondering what's going to happen, wondering what is going to be. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in the oh Lord situation? Oh Lord, I can't pay that this week. Oh Lord, I don't have the money. Oh Lord, what am I going to do?
Amen.
And he prays his prayer. Oh Lord, I like that. There's something I relate to.
Yes.
I relate to on that. I've had my days of fasting when I had no other choice but to fast. I've had my nights of sleeping on a concrete floor, not by choice, but just something that I had to do if I was going to sleep. And I relate to where he's at, a desperate situation, wanting God to do something. Oh, Lord. Kind of like the old black spiritual, oh, Lord, won't you come by here? Oh, Lord, come by here. Somebody needs you, Lord. Somebody's praying. Oh, Lord, come by here. Everybody say, oh, Lord. Look at your neighbor and say, oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, God of our fathers, art not Thou God in heaven, and rulest not Thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in Thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand Thee? He begins to praise Him. Art not Thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before Thy people, Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, Thy friend, forever? He praises Him. And they dwelt therein and have built Thee a sanctuary therein for Thy name. Everybody read that verse of Scripture with me, stopping at the word name. And they dwelt therein and have built Thee a sanctuary therein for Thy name. For Thy name, for Thy name. In the Old Testament, they could only make a reference to the name. They could only allude to the name. They could only look in the direction of the name. But we have the name.
Yes, hallelujah.
And they dwelt therein and have built Thee a sanctuary therein for Thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us, sounds like the 1990s, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, the sanctuary they built for His name.
Hallelujah.
And as they stand before this house, He says, and in Thy
presence. For thy name is in this house. And cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And then he begins to describe the situation, the problem, the adversity that they're faced with. Verse 11, behold, I say how they reward us. Excuse me, verse 12. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon you, Lord. But our eyes are upon you.
Hallelujah.
We've got a problem and we don't know which way to turn. We're going to look to you, Jesus.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the psalmist David penned the words in Psalm 121, I believe it was. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help.
Yeah.
My help cometh from the Lord.
Yeah.
I was thinking recently of that verse of Scripture and why he chose the part of the body such as the eyes. Why the eyes? Why did he say, I will lift up mine eyes? Why not my hands to praise him? Why not my feet to dance before him? Why not my voice to sing his praises? Probably because the psalmist David was in a condition, in a position in life that many of us have found ourselves so many times. We didn't have the energy to do anything but to turn our eyes to him. We had no energy to lift our voice and to lift our hands and to dance before his presence. All we could do is look. But if that's all we can do, let's do it. Aren't you glad you know where to look? Praise God. That's the prayer of Jehoshaphat. And then in verse 14 begins the response. Verse 14, the first part there says, then upon Jehaziel, the last part says, came the Spirit of the Lord. Came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. He moved among the people and said, hearken ye all, Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. Don't worry about how big it is. I know it's real. I know you have a problem. I know it's there, but don't worry about it.
Amen.
For the battle is not yours, but God's.
God.
Tomorrow go ye down against them. Anytime we face our adversary, the devil,
Amen.
We will have to go down to fight him.
That's right.
But if he is going to face us on our turf, he is going to have to come up
Yes.
to face us. Because we're walking with Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Everybody say, the Lord is with me. The Lord is with me.
The Lord is with you.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
When God took up occupancy in Israel through Jehaziel, all the fear that they had felt before this time began to flee. All the doubts that had been running course through their mind began to dwindle. And God's people were certain that everything was going to be all right. It was because the Spirit of the Lord, was in the midst of the congregation. Fear will always prevail if we look at our obstacle and not at God.
That's right. You're right.
I want to turn your attention quickly to the book of Psalms, Psalm 114 specifically. I'm going to preach the word tonight. Not apologizing for my style of delivery. I don't normally read as much as I'm reading, but I really felt to read everything that I'm going to read in your hearing tonight. And hopefully it will have an impact on your walk with God. I'm certain that it will. When Israel went out of Egypt, Psalm 114, the house of Jacob, from a people of strange language, Judah was his sanctuary and Israel his dominion.
The sea saw it and fled. Jordan was driven back. The mountains skipped like rams, and the little hills like lambs. What ailed thee, O thou sea, that thou fleddest? Thou Jordan, that thou wast driven back. Ye mountains that ye skip like rams, and ye little hills like lambs. Tremble thou earth at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of a God of Jacob, which turned the rock into a standing water, the flint into a fountain of waters. There is a very relevant question concerning the mountains and the sea. In verse 5, what ailed thee? The question is asked, what ailed thee, O thou sea that thou fleddest, thou Jordan that thou wast driven back? What ailed thee, ye mountains that ye skip like rams, ye little hills like lambs? The question is put forth, and the answer is given in verse 7. Tremble thou earth at the presence, at the presence, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob. Now you think about it.
Amen.
If just the moving of the Spirit of God can cause a mountain to tremble, can cause the earth to move.
Hallelujah.
Now if you think it's an easy task to move the earth, pick up a shovel and get after it. It's hard work, but at the presence of God, the earth trembled, the mountains moved, the waters turned back. Now you think about this. It took a lot of power to make the earth tremble. This is a big ball of dirt. This is big. This is a big place. It took me 30 hours to get up here. That's a long ways. A lot of Yankees between here and there. And His presence caused this big ball of dirt to tremble. You just think about just the little eyedrop of His power that He had to so sparingly drop on us when He filled us with the Holy Ghost. Because if He put too much on us, we'd shake to pieces. And you think about your problem. It seems so big to you. And you have your problem all figured out, every angle, every corner, to the dot of the I and the cross of the T. You can quote your problem. You can quote the attack of Satan.
Yeah.
And your problem is magnified in your mind, in your life, and its influence. You've exposed yourself to your problem, and its influence causes you to make decisions based on the flesh and based on human reasoning. But you think about the power of God. You think about your problem in relation to the power and the presence of God. Now, if you honestly believe that your problem is larger than this big ball of dirt that we're living on right now, let me see your hand. Then certainly you would agree with me that His presence,
yes,
has the power,
yes,
and the authority,
yes,
and the dominion,
yes,
to cause your problem to flee. His presence. Ooh, Lord. Psalm 22, verse 3 states, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel.
Yes.
You know what that means? We're the spiritual Israel. That means that when we praise Him,
yes,
when we praise the name, yes, of our God,
yes,
when we stand before the house that we built for His name, and we praise Him,
hallelujah,
because of the problem, the adversity, the affliction,
right,
He's going to move.
He will.
His Spirit's going to move.
Praise.
He's going to touch our mind. You think about it. When we come into the presence of God, We come to church with problems and we think about the problems. We think about the bills. We think about everything. But when we get, is it not so that when we get in the presence of God, those things begin to diminish? Those things begin to leave. It's not that they're not real, but His presence causes them to have to leave. His presence fills our hearts and lives when we praise Him.
Thank God.
When we praise Him. It goes forth attacking the enemy within us, our mind, our own flesh. And it also goes forth attacking Satan himself and any spirit. And I mean it completely butchers their efforts.
Amen.
To hold us back. When we praise Him with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. A friend of mine was involved in the attack on Grenada several years ago. And he said it was so amazing. It was so amazing to him. He was in the Ranger Battalion there out of Savannah, Georgia. And he said they fired a few shots, a few rounds into the soldiers approaching them, and then they began to flee. They began to flee. And they had to go hunt them down to capture them. And when they would find them, their weapons would be the first thing they would surrender. The articles of warfare, the paraphernalia that they would have brought pain into their lives with, they surrendered those things because they said, one of the captives that could speak English said, "You're Rangers, aren't you?" They said, "Yeah, how did you know?" They said, "We could tell by your uniforms. We knew by your attack pattern that you were Rangers." And Scott said, "Well, why do you ask?" He said, "Rangers have a mean reputation over here. We've read about you, we've heard about you. We knew you were coming. We knew you were coming. We know your reputation." You just think about if those people are going to throw down their weapons because of the Ranger Battalion attacking them, then Satan is going to have to deliver up. He's going to have to give up when the people of God call on the name of Jesus and His presence begins to move. And when the people in Norwich, Connecticut, when they see us coming, they recognize our walk, they recognize our appearance, you're apostolic, aren't you? You're Pentecostal, aren't you? Yeah, how did you know? Well, I've heard about you. I've read things about you. And they're going to have to surrender themselves to what we know and what we are. They're not going to have any choice because of the presence that's in our heart. The way we get into His presence is praise. The way we get close to Him, near to Him, is calling His name. You know that as well as I do. I want to share with you very quickly, more or less skate through these words. There are 7 Hebrew words in the Old Testament. I'm certain you're familiar with them and have heard them before. 7 Hebrew words for praise. Now you may wonder why I haven't gone to the New Testament. I did originally, but all the New Testament words are derivatives from the Old Testament Hebrew words. So I'm going to use these and explain them to you. And I think that you'll enjoy their application to our form of worship. You know, it's so important that everything we do, even though we believe what we believe, it's so important that we understand that everything we do is found in the Word of God. That's our foundation. The first word that I want to share with you is Shabbat. This means to command or address in a loud tone or to shout. I was so surprised this morning when all the ex-Catholics stood up. I don't believe there's any loud tones or shouting used in Catholicism that I've seen. Unless it's to give more money. Or in the bingo games. The second word is Barak. This means to kneel or to bless. It means to declare God the origin of power. To kneel or to bless. Next is a word called Tehillah. This means to sing hallelujahs. That makes no sense to someone that has never had our experience.
Amen.
I mean, have you ever just been alone and just begin to sing hallelujah over and over? Have you ever done that? If you haven't, you need to do it.
Yes.
It's edification for your spirit.
Yes.
It's edification for your faith and belief in God. Let's do it right now. Everybody, just close your eyes. And don't worry about what everybody else is going to think. And just begin to sing hallelujah. I'm not going to lead you. Y'all start it. Sing hallelujah. 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 That's right. Sing it. Put some type of melody to it. This is worship and praise. Activating, if you please, the presence of God in our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, you feel that stirring way down in your heart. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. Now there's something I want you to join in with. The singing of hallelujahs is a word called Todah. A by faith for something that is yet to be. By faith for something that is yet to be. A blessing we need. A blessing someone else needs. A backslider that needs to pray through. A family member that is a sinner that needs to be converted. A church that needs to be built in Stamford. A church that needs to be built in Washington, D.C. Everybody lift up your hands. This is what you call audience participation. Boy, y'all are pretty good at this. I think you may have done this a time or two already. To extend the hands in thanksgiving for something that is yet to be. Now do this and sing hallelujah. Hallelujah. You feel your faith rising right now because you're in the presence of the Almighty God. You're in the presence of the Everlasting Father. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, with your hands extended, and into His courts with praise, singing hallelujahs. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Praise God. Let me finish these other three quickly. I don't want to hold you too long. Next is one called Zamar. This means to pluck the strings of an instrument in song and in praise. Next is a word called Yada. This means to worship with extended hands. To throw out the hands. Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 6 says, all the people lifted their hands and responded, amen, amen. To worship with extended hands, to throw out the hands. Almost like an act of violence, just surrendering everything. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And then the last one that I like the most, that we're all familiar with, is halal, which is actually hallelujah, as we've been repeating. This means... Now, this is where we get apostolic. This is where we get Pentecostal. This is where we lay down Catholicism and Baptistism and Protestantism and Presbyterianism and any other ism that's not in the Word of God. Halal actually means to boast. To boast. Sometimes we want to be so humble in our worship and our praise. But when you get in the presence of God, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what?
Liberty.
There's what?
Liberty. Hallelujah.
To boast, you know what else it means? To rave. To rave. Now, I'm not talking about husband to wife or wife to husband. I am talking about an expression of praise.
Hallelujah.
You know what else it means? It means to be delirious. Y'all think I'm delirious, don't you? It means to celebrate. How many of you have ever been involved in a New Year's party outside the church? What happened when that old clock hit the 12 mark? Did they not boast? Did they not rave? Did they not act delirious? The last one of halal is to act clamorously foolish. I'm not making these up as I'm going. These are out of a Hebrew dictionary concerning these words dealing with worship and praise. To act clamorously foolish. You know, we have a right to praise the Lord. A lot of people want to take that right from us. Sometimes we want to take the privilege from ourselves. I've heard people make statements such as, I don't think it's necessary to dance. I don't think it's necessary to clap my hands. I don't really believe that it's necessary to lift my hands. And I certainly don't believe it's necessary to run the aisles. And basically they're doing away with any privilege or any right for a person that's been saved from sin to be demonstrative in their worship. And some people have even gone as far as to say, I want to be like Jesus. No, they don't. They really don't. Jesus never danced. And He never ran the aisles. And He never waved His hands. And you can't find in Scripture anywhere that He did that. I can't. But I can find in Scripture that everyone He touched did. Praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God. Let me get ready to close here. Jehoshaphat's army was prepared for battle. Their artillery was set in position. Their foot soldiers, their horsemen, everything was at the ready. And they fought many battles before, and they knew well what would happen and probably would be happening to them that day if they went into battle. But there was something very unique about this particular time of them going into battle. As we read in our verse of Scripture, verse 20, 21, and 22, He selected singers. He selected singers and praisers that were placed directly in front of the fierce warriors trained to fight and to defend. The army represents man's squirming effort and ability to try to take care of his own problem. But when people begin to praise and magnify God, it shows their desire to unleash God to do what He really wants to do. And that's to make a way for His people. And as they begin to sing, "Praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever." They were moving to face the enemy and praising God. I believe that some of them had to be a little delirious, facing thousands of soldiers across the field, and their army was behind them. And they were singing, "Praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever."
Hallelujah.
I believe some of them had to be delirious,
yes,
beside themselves in the effort and in the act of praising God.
Hallelujah.
To do what they were actually doing.
Yes.
Reason says, You get behind the army and praise God. You let the foot soldier and the horseman fight the battle and you praise God for their victory. But God's plan always is unique and different and separate from what man would do. And this is no exception in this sense. When the enemy, the children of Ammon, Moab, and of Mount Seir, when they came against the people of God, they came against people that were in the presence. And they could not stand in the presence of God. They could not stand in the presence of God. And they were completely destroyed. They were completely sabotaged. They were violently diminished. They were wiped out completely. Because the people of God followed His plan and they worshipped. And God inhabited their praises. He inhabited their praises. I want to read for you another verse of Scripture, Psalm 118, quickly. And I'm moving toward closing with this. Psalm 118, beginning at verse 10. I'll tell you what I'd like for you to do. I'd like for you to stand with me, please, if you would. I'd like for you to read aloud with me, beginning at verse 10. All nations compass me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compassed me about, yea, they compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compassed me about like bees, they are quenched as the fire of thorns, for in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Let me stop right here and say, we constantly have people coming against us. And people have shared with me personal testimonies of people physically opposing them, verbally opposing them in their effort here in this area. We cannot murder people. That's against the law if you didn't know it. The people that come against us, we cannot destroy them physically and literally. But in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, we can destroy. We can annihilate. We can delete completely the effect they have on us. Amen. The negative influence they would be in our activity in the name of the Lord. But only in the name of the Lord. Yes. Let's read on. Hallelujah. Verse 13. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song and has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but He hath not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise Thee, for Thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. Whatever we need is in the name of the Lord. When we move into His presence, we get to where we need to be in Jesus. Everything that has opposed us, it may continue to oppose us, but it cannot affect us. It cannot stop us because the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of the living God. When a person comes to Jesus and they lay their self open, their life is going to be changed because the presence of Jesus Christ and His blood being applied to their life kills the effect of sin. It kills the effect of condemnation. When Jesus went down to hell, Satan was under His authority. And he was in the presence. I'm simply trying to elaborate the point that the presence of the Lord that we hold in the heart, as Brother Calvin mentioned, the temple. We're the temple. We're the temple of God. The presence that is in the temple cannot be squelched. It cannot be held back. It cannot be confined to anything that Satan would devise to hold us back. Praise God. Let's lift up our hands right now and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. If everybody would bow your head and close your eyes, please. I know that we're living in trying times, and to add to that, we're also moving ahead in the church. Not only are these times trying physically and mentally and financially, but when the church is on the move, that means that it's going to be trying times spiritually. And I would like for us to pray for those among us that are facing some problems. Not necessarily that they must acknowledge them to us. We can't do anything about their problems. We can just pray. But we know somebody who can. And if a brother or sister is facing an adversity or a question or facing temptation and you feel like that you're about to sink or you're not sure exactly what's going to happen, if you'd just come stand down front, please. If the musicians would come at this time and begin to play, please, I'd appreciate that. And if somehow we could expose your problem, your situation, to the presence of the Lord with intent for it to be brought to an end, with intent to annihilate the effort that Satan is trying to put into us, negative feelings and negative thoughts. Praise God. If everybody would just begin to lift their voices in prayer right now. Praise God. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for an opportunity to expose your problem to Jesus and let Him kill the effect it has on your life? Let Him kill the negative influence of Satan and sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody in the building tonight that you feel like you need a special bit of prayer, a special bit of attention from your brothers and sisters and from Jesus, come down to the front, please. We want to support you. We want to pray with you. We want to pray for you. Praise God. If the other brothers and sisters would begin to gather in around these that have chosen to come tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Victory is in praise. Strength is in praise. Because we expose our problem to Jesus, to His presence. Satan cannot stand in His presence. Our problem cannot prevail in the presence of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Oh, yes, my Lord.
Oh, hallelujah. Tell the Lord what you're facing.
Yes, Lord.
Go ahead and be specific about it. Go ahead and tell Him what you want to happen, what you need to happen.
Oh God.
It's not a fantasy. It's not something that we cannot attain to. A successful Christian life can be had by the power of the name Jesus. There's power in that name. There's strength in that name. There's stability of life in that name. There's overcoming power in the name of Jesus. Praise God.
Oh, yes. Yes, Lord. Thank you.
Hallelujah. All in the building right now, why don't we extend our hands? Why don't we lift our hands right now and just begin to sing hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know many times the feelings that we have in our heart are hard to express. I pray right now that the Lord could somehow know what we desire if it cannot be verbally expressed. Lord, You see the intentions of our heart.
Hallelujah.
You see the intentions of our minds.
Oh, God, those that are among us tonight that need desperate help. Those that are in this building tonight that need desperate strength. I pray right now, Lord, as we extend our hands to You and lift our voices in hallelujahs and in praise the Lord and in thank You, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I pray that You would make a way where there seems to be no way.
Oh, yes.
God, as we expose Satan for what he really is.
Hallelujah.
As we expose our problem for what it really is. Expose it to Your presence. I pray, God, right now that You would kill the effect that it has had on us. The influence that it has had on us. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Oh, God, kill the influence of the past. Kill the dictatorship of the past. Oh, hallelujah. Woo!
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Is the mountain too high that you can't climb it? Is the river too wide that you can't cross it? Is the valley so deep that you can't take it? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, thank You, Lord. I love You, Jesus. I love You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. I love You, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I love You, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus.
We could right now, brother to brother, sister to sister, if you could find someone and just pray earnestly for them. Praise God. You never know what your friend is facing. You never know what your wife or your husband is facing. You never know what feelings they're having to contend with. Praise God. Praise God. And if there's something in your heart tonight, if there's a seed of bitterness, if there's something that can cause division between you and your friends, you and the people of God, expose it tonight. Expose it tonight to the power of Jesus, to the power of His presence. Let Him kill that negative influence. Let Him kill that negative spirit that would live among us. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Brother to brother and sister to sister right now. Let's pray for one another earnestly. Let's bind together. Consider one another's needs. Consider one another's struggles. Hallelujah. 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 Just reach over and lay your hand on someone's shoulder right now and pray for them. Ask God to strengthen them and to encourage them. Whatever problem they face, maybe it's the past that's hindering their progress into the present and into the future. Oh God, you see the situation. You see the lives right now. God, you see these people that didn't even know your name 2 or 3 years ago. And look how far you've brought them, Lord. Look what a tremendous work you've done. God, I pray that you would give them that sustaining power, whatever it takes to keep them in the church, whatever they have to let go of, whatever they have to leave behind. God, give them the power to make the right choice.
Yes, Lord.
Let their own heart and soul be so exposed to you, Lord Jesus, that you would be their direction giver. You would be the one that influences them above anything else. Oh, God. Give us the power to make the choice. Give us the strength to make the decision to do right, to choose right. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Anoint us to be soldiers. Anoint us to be victorious. Anoint us to be powerful. Anoint us to live in your presence and allow your presence to live in us. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
Praise God. Let your presence rule and reign, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 I choose you, Jesus.
Yes, Jesus.
I choose you, Jesus. I choose you, Jesus.
Praise God Almighty.
I choose you, Jesus.
I choose you, Lord Jesus.
I choose you, Jesus.
I choose you,
Jesus. I choose you, Jesus. Sing hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.